Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, July the 20th. A very warm day here in Dallas, but I think you knew that. You think you knew that I was going to say that. It is, after all, the middle of July. It's about 90 degrees, which is what July usually sounds like or feels like around here. Well, a lot to get into today, but I got to begin with a funny story. This is, you know, this is kind of funny, actually. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was maybe something out of Saturday Night Live, but it did happen. You know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers won the Super Bowl this year, so, you know, they got to go to the White House and be recognized by the President of the United States, and that's what happens. You know, you go to the White House, and, you know, you accept, I guess, some kind of recognition from the President. You give him a jersey, that kind of thing. You know, we've seen this happen many times before. I don't know exactly when it started. I was thinking about this before the podcast started, and I was thinking to myself, when did this actually start? You know, and this is my own memory here. It takes me back to the Reagan White House. I just remember one time when the Washington Redskins won the Super Bowl. I think they won a couple of Super Bowls when Mr. Reagan was president. And I know he had them there at the White House. And I don't know if that was the beginning or that was the only one I remember. But anyway, it happened a few times because the Redskins won a few Super Bowls with President Reagan in the White House. But anyway, Tom Brady, who is, of course, the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, goes there and he starts giving a little speech. And he starts talking about how difficult it was during the season. They were 7-5, and most people didn't think he was going to win. And then he said something like, 40% of the people still don't think that we won the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know whether Tom Brady did that on purpose or not, but, of course, some polling data says that Americans, or 40%, don't believe that President Biden won the presidency. So I thought it was kind of funny. I don't think that Tom Brady meant it in any way to humiliate the president, but I thought it was pretty funny, actually, but that's what happened. And, again, I don't think Tom Brady meant it in any way to humiliate President Biden or to make fun of him, but he did say it, and I thought it was pretty funny. Well, we're going to talk about these Texas Democrats who are really, in many ways, have become an embarrassment to themselves. You know, they were supposed to go to Washington to protect our right to vote. They were there. They were going to protect our right to vote. They were going to go to Washington and, you know, fight for our right to vote because, according to them, the law that the governor will be passing whenever they get back into town, I assume they'll be getting back into town soon, you know, that law is going to pass and will become the law here in Texas. And then, of course, they're saying that, you know, this particular legislation takes away your right to vote and everything else, which it does not. It doesn't take your right to vote at all. But, of course, this whole thing has backfired on these Democrats because now six of them are infected with COVID. And now we hear that somebody in Speaker Pelosi's staff also came down from COVID, somebody who met with these Democrats. And I believe there's somebody else at the White House, although I'm not sure if that's because he met with these people or if that's just a coincidence. But these Texas Democrats, the ones who are not infected, have now become a real problem because nobody wants to see them. Nobody wants to see them in person. I mean, they thought they were going to go to Washington and have all these press conferences outside the Capitol and all these Democrats, and they were going to go to the White House and turn it into a huge event. But they're not going to do that because they can barely get out of their hotels. I understand that they're doing all their sessions now by Zoom, which is kind of hilarious. But the bottom line is that this whole thing has blown up in their face. It has completely blown up in their face. And I think in the long run, and I have a post about this over at the American Thinker this morning, in the long run, this is going to actually end up hurting Democrats, particularly Democrats in competitive districts. And there are some here in Texas. You know, most of the ones that you have seen on TV, you know, most of the ones who've been outspoken and, you know, been out there making outrageous statements like, you know, comparing this to slavery and all of that. Most of those represent very safe districts. So they're not going to lose anything. And even after redistricting, most of them are still going to maintain a fairly safe district. The problem is that there are at least three Democrats in what we like to call the Metroplex, which is the, you know, the area of Dallas and pretty much all of North Texas. There are three in the Metroplex who were reelected the last time around with like 51, 52, maybe 51, something like that. So they barely got reelected, And now they're going to be running against a Republican, and these districts are obviously going to be redrawn. And when they redraw districts, what do? Obviously, the party that has the majority does it, you know, for their own benefit. That's what always happens. That's what happens in California when the Democrats do it. That's what happens in Illinois when the Democrats do it. So this is nothing unusual. The Republicans are going to do what every majority party does. And I think a lot of these Democrats that I was talking about, these three Democrats, one from Richardson, one from Rolett, and one from Carrollton, are going to find themselves running in different districts where the Democrat is going to be at a disadvantage. And I think you may very well see a lot of these Democrats who are, you know, in these competitive districts, I think you may see a lot of them lose their seats. And this little show that they've done, this nonsense that they've done going to Washington to fight for our right to vote, as they like to call it, is going to end up hurting many of these, as I like to call them, Democrats in competitive districts. And it's going to be a total joke, a total complete joke by the time the election gets here. I know that most of the people in Texas, and that's what the Dallas Morning News was telling them in an editorial on Friday before the COVID situation blew up. I mean, the Dallas Morning News was telling them, look, people see what you're doing, and they see you're putting on an act, and this is a show. This is not for real. And I think most people do. I believe that they've hurt themselves a great deal, and the sooner they come home, you know, if I was talking to any of them, I would say, look, get over to Texas. Just figure out some way of getting out of this mess and get back to Texas. Now, the only other question I have is, how are they going to get back? Because I would think they don't want to be reading, they don't want to be flying back together like they went up there. So how are they going to get back, and who's going to pay for this plane? Because they're probably going to have to take more than one flight to get back. Because again, they cannot fly back together because of the COVID. So what a mess! What a mess! Talk about a self-imposed or shooting yourself in the foot, as they like to say. What a total, complete mess, these Democrats. And you know what? Obviously, we want them to recover from COVID. There's nothing political about that side of the story. We want them to recover. But my goodness, these people made this situation a lot worse by going to Washington. They could have stayed here and made their case at the assembly, at the Capitol here in Texas, and then just taken the vote and move on. No, they had to go to Washington. They had to put on the big show, and now they're going nowhere. They've done themselves more harm than good by what they did. So I don't feel sorry for them. Obviously, I want them to recover. That's different. But I don't feel sorry for most of them. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. Well, another big story. I have a post coming out about this on Wednesday morning. Another big story is inflation. Now, President Biden yesterday was trying to, you know, talk about inflation because the market had a very bad day. Now, they say that the market's bad day, and I'm not an expert on the stock market, so please don't take this as anything other than just my observation from a distance here, because the market is a real specialty, and I'm certainly not a specialist on it. But a lot of people were saying that the market was down yesterday because of the fears of COVID. Other people are saying that it's because of inflation. Other people are saying it's because they fear, many investors fear, that some of these blue states are going to lock down again, which, of course, would be a disaster for the American economy. I don't know why the market was down, but I do know that inflation is not down. And inflation is going to have a devastating impact on the American family. When you fill up your tank, I have a personal story there. When I filled up my tank on Saturday, it was almost $45. That was 15 gallons. When I filled up my tank in February, it was like $31, $32. Same car, same gasoline roughly. So when you go from like 2010 to from 210 to 289 or 220 to 289, that's a huge hit on the family budget. And the people who are going to get hurt the most are low-income people who obviously need their automobile to go to work, but they're paying a lot more for that gasoline. I mean, it's just going to be a devastating impact on the middle class and especially low-income people. And it isn't just the gasoline, of course. It's everything else that goes up, the price of food and everything else that is messed up. So it's going to be this is the issue, I believe, that is really going to hurt the Democrats, because this is you cannot protect the president. The media cannot. The media is doing their best to try to protect Joe Biden from political reality, but they, when it comes to inflation, they simply cannot do it because everybody's paying. Everybody sees it every week when they fill up their tank or when they go to the grocery store. So you cannot protect the president on this one because everybody in the country knows what's going on. Well, just a quick observation here about Apollo 11. It was, 52 years ago. You talk about getting old. It was 52 years ago, half a century, if you can believe that, that Apollo 11 landed on the moon. Then, of course, they walked on the moon. And I say half a century because, you know, people like my parents were watching that back in 1969. And I remember being in the living room with them as we were watching Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin walk on the moon. And, I mean, seeing something on television that was unbelievable. I mean, it was just, you couldn't understand it. And my parents, I know, would look at the scene and talk to each other and say, who would have believed this when we were kids? Who would have believed this when we were kids that we'd be watching a man walk on the moon and then watch him on TV? I mean, for them, it was like, you know, something bizarre. I mean, you know, just incredible. And of course it was. It was probably the most amazing event of the 20th century. And 500 years from now, you know, when, you know, they look back at our time, I think they'll be talking about Neil Armstrong and Apollo 11, you know, putting, you know, being the first man on the moon, just like we talk about Columbus today, discovering the New World. I mean, this is the kind of thing that we were a part of. We were a part of history watching that event on television. And as I said before, I can hear my parents talking to each other and saying, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. They would say to each other in Spanish, of course, this is unbelievable. I mean, who would have believed this when we were kids, when we were growing up in Cuba? Who would have believed that we'd be watching a man walk on the moon, or that a man would walk on the moon and we get to see it on something called television that they didn't even exist when they were kids? So Apollo 11, June 20th, 1969, one of those days that, well, we just, what can I say? It's one of those days that I will always remember. Perhaps the most, from a purely scientific standpoint, maybe the most incredible day of my life. I just don't know how else to recall it. Sitting there with my parents and watching a man walk on the moon. And as my mom used to say, and we can see it on television. Yes, it was indeed remarkable. What a remarkable thing. Apollo 11, 52 years ago today. Well, before we go, I want to say happy number 74 to Carlos Santana, who had some pretty good songs, I think, when he was recording. I guess he still does, but I haven't really kept up with him too much. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.